even though they don't know it yet.
They don't know it yet, but they are.
They are.
We know it.
Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
Everyone. What is it?
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to...
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 309, Four to Tango, which originally aired on December 1st, 1999.
December 1st?
We're just blazing through the year.
That's crazy. It doesn't feel like a winter episode at all. It's not snowing in Cape Side.
Lots of jackets.
There are a lot of jackets. There's no snow.
No.
Well, what are we drinking?
We are drinking the Tango. It is blonde beer and grenadine syrup. It's basically like an adult Shirley Temple.
I love that.
Yeah, not bad. I prefer a dirty Shirley, which I feel like is something that became popular in the last few years.
What's that?
It's just a Shirley Temple with vodka.
Oh.
But, you know, another good alternative if you don't like it so sweet.
We love that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to dive right in to episode 309, Four to Tango.
Tell us what it's about.
This episode opens in Dawson's bedroom, where Pacey and Jen are rolling around in Dawson's bed. Their bodies all intertwine. They're making out. And then they pull away from each other, and they each express that they're just not feeling the spark. They wonder how they're supposed to have a strictly platonic casual sex pact if neither one of them can get turned on enough to do it. They have no sexual tension. Dawson and his dad are both not home, and they snuck in through the window. Dawson ends up coming home and interrupting them, though. Jen runs out the window, and Pacey makes up a bunch of excuses to Dawson why he's there, none of which Dawson buys. Later at school, Pacey learns from his guidance counselor that he's failing math. And his other grades aren't great either. So this is clearly a regression from where Pacey was last year. And we know this is due to the fact that he's no longer with Andy, who played a huge part in Pacey turning his life around. So Pacey turns to Joey for help, and she also offers him a pact. She will tutor him in math if he becomes her partner at a local ballroom dance studio. She really wants to win a $1,500 grant they're offering. Pacey agrees but says that no one can ever find out. That is so embarrassing. And Joey concurs. Things take an interesting turn when Dawson finds a condom in his room, and he knows that Pacey must have left it there. He grows even more suspicious when he catches Pacey and Joey talking about how no one can find out about their secret. Pacey dodges Dawson left and right, and Dawson can tell. So later, Jen shows up at Dawson and Pacey's work, the video store, and Dawson says that Pacey isn't on the schedule tonight or for the next few days. Jen thinks that's really weird because she was actually there to meet Pacey for one of their attempts to have sex. Dawson doesn't know that, but she's very confused why Pacey would lie and say he would be there tonight. Dawson and Jen discuss how Pacey's been acting really weird and how he definitely has a secret. Dawson confides in Jen that he found Pacey in his room the other day and later found a condom. Jen, of course, knows this is about her, but she plays along, relieved that Dawson has no idea who Pacey was with. Pacey and Joey are studying, and Pacey just can't get into that either. He recalls how in the past, when he was studying with Andy and Miss Jacobs, they always rewarded him with sex. It's Pavlovian, and that's why he can't get his head in the game now. She turns him down and says that's the lamest attempt to hit on her that she's ever heard, and Pacey fires back that she shouldn't flatter herself. He's not hitting on her. He actually has a prospect right now. He doesn't mention that it's Jen, but he gauges Joey's thoughts on a Friends with Benefits pact. Could it ever work out between two good friends? She discourages it. Meanwhile, Jen and Dawson spot Pacey and Joey walking on the street and know they're up to something. They follow them to the dance studio. Dawson and Jen get swept up into the dance class by the teacher and they have to participate. The dance instructor observes that Jen and Dawson are very comfortable with each other, so they must trust each other. Maybe they're exes who've become friends. She also notes that Joey and Pacey, meanwhile, are terrible at dancing, which suggests lots of sexual tension and the early stages of a romantic relationship. Dawson is very bothered by this. The dance instructor encourages them to change partners throughout this scene every time she yells switch, allowing for each of the four characters to interact and have various conversations with each other. Dawson and Pacey dance together, and Dawson questions Pacey about the condom. Pacey grabs Jen when the instructor yells switch, so he can tell her all this, but she tells him that Dawson isn't suspicious of Pacey and Jen. He's suspicious of Pacey and Joey. Dawson, meanwhile, dances with Joey and asks her why she wouldn't ask him to help her with the dance grant instead of Pacey. The farcical scene climaxes when Pacey dances with Dawson and reprimands him about Joey. This Joey jealousy act he does is old. Dawson needs to figure out his feelings for Joey or just stop. Dawson turned Joey down and told Pacey to look out for her. Joey is a star and she's beautiful and she's gorgeous, and there's gonna come a day when someone comes along and takes Joey from Dawson. And while nothing is going on between Pacey and Joey, that guy might not always be his best friend who's willing to give Dawson the time of day and listen to his feelings about it. So having stormed off because of his frustration with Dawson, Pacey runs into Jen in the coat room and they're venting and talking about the situation. They realize in this moment that they've achieved what they have not yet been able to, an attraction, chemistry. They start kissing and they're about to make good on their Friends with Benefits pact when Joey and Dawson walk in, interrupting them. So the other big story in this episode is with Jack. So we know from the last few episodes this season that Jack is lonely. And he's wondering about romance and how gay romance would work in Capeside. Jack approaches Andy and asks if she remembers that news segment that Dawson did on him for the first football game of the season. As a result of that, Jack's been getting tons of mail from people who have seen the news story. Some of them say it was inspirational. Some of the messages are homophobic. And one says that he was in Jack's shoes a few years ago, and if Jack ever wants to talk about anything, he's totally there for Jack. His name is Ben Street, and he was on the news a few years ago when he took another boy to prom. He knows exactly what Jack is going through right now. Later, Ben finds Jack on AIM and sends him a message. Over the next few days, Jack and Ben Street talk on Instant Messenger and eventually decide to meet. Andy walks Jack through tons of cold feet situations. Jack knows the second he goes on a date or meets someone in person, then all of this coming out stuff is real. His gay journey will truly begin. He doesn't know if he's ready for that. It's one thing to tell the world you're gay, but it's another thing to actually be gay. After several pep talks from Andy, Jack gets up the courage to go meet Ben Street at the cafe, but he gets the jitters and ends up turning away when he sees Ben sitting there. Later, Andy tells Jack that she knows he's going to be happy one day, and she knows when to push and when not to push, and she's willing to let it go for now. So having walked in on Pacey and Jen kissing in the coat room, Joey is very upset and doesn't understand what's happening. She immediately lashes out at Jen, saying this must be her idea, because this is so not Pacey. Pacey defends Jen and says they both went in on this together. Joey says, oh, is that why you named your boat True Love? Because you're so quick to have meaningless sex with a friend? Dawson and Joey storm out, and Jen is so confused by why Joey was so worked up over a kiss. But Pacey confesses that he did confide in Joey about a hypothetical situation in which he might or might not have a Friends with Benefits pact with someone. Joey obviously put two and two together when she saw them. Jen is very upset. She's involved yet again with another guy who flocks to Joey and confides in her every time something goes wrong. Dawson and Pacey always go straight to Joey. It's infuriating. Jen says it doesn't take Einstein to figure out what's going on here. Pacey and Joey have feelings for each other. Pacey says there's nothing going on between him and Joey, and Jen immediately fires back, no, there's nothing going on between you and me. They both agree that this Friends with Benefits pact that never even got off the ground is officially over. They're both relieved and kind of sad. Dawson and Joey speak outside, and Dawson gets Joey to realize that sometimes things are just about sex. They don't need to be about love and romance. Joey can't believe what she's hearing from the ultimate romantic. Dawson says Pacey and Jen are probably lonely and want comfort. Everyone is using somebody for something, even the people they love. They want to feel a certain way and need someone else to make them feel it. Because of Dawson, Joey goes back in and apologizes to Pacey for overreacting. And Pacey says that nothing actually happened between him and Jen. As a button to the episode, the dance instructor tells Joey that the scholarship is no longer, but she can offer Joey 6 months of free dance classes instead. Joey says, yeah, no, we're good. She grabs Pacey by the hand and drags him out of the studio laughing. And that is episode 309, Four to Tango.
Intricate.
Yes, very intricate, very farcical, very, I love the way they played with the dynamics. This person talks to this person, this person, this person. House of Cards, domino effect. Very well written.
Love it. Very akin to the dance episode where they're kind of all chatting different partners, you know.
The season two dance episode?
Yeah.
It was like the dance episode on crack.
Yeah.
Who wrote this farcical House of Cards episode?
This episode was written by Gina Fator. She was most recently with us for episode 305, Indian Summer. And this episode was directed by James Whitmore Jr., who was most recently with us for episode 307, Escape from Witch Island. A solid pair.
What about the guest cast shout out?
I am going to give the guest cast shout out to Jason Davis, who is playing Mr. Capinos, the guidance counselor, which is hilarious because it's obviously a nod to Tom Capinos, the writer who often writes with Gina. So she gave him a nod. I also want to mention Amy Parrish, who plays Penny Pretty. She has a ton of credits. She's a very successful working actor. But I wanted to give it to Jason because I was watching the whole time and I was like, this guy looks so familiar to me. And then I realized he was in a limited series that I produced 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Good for him. He's still working.
He's been in a ton of stuff. He's still working today. He was in Friend of the Family, The Staircase, Candy, most recently. Like, he's in a ton of limited series. He had episodes of Ozark, The Walking Dead, Stranger Things, Homeland. He has almost 100 credits. He has no signs of slowing down. He's in stuff every year for the last handful of years. And this is his only episode as Mr. Capinos, but he will be back in the penultimate episode of the series playing a different character, which, you know, I love when that happens.
Of the series.
Of the series.
I see. I see. Now, in my head, he looks like Anthony Rapp. Is that fair?
Yes, it is fair.
He does. Okay. I can't believe he was in The Staircase. That was probably my favorite show that you've done so far.
It's a great one. It was a really...
You should watch that.
Really good show. Would recommend.
Would recommend. Well, is Penny the dance instructor?
Penny is the dance instructor. And it's interesting because I Googled it because I was like, Penny Pretty is such a specific name. It has to mean something. So there's a movie, a 1984 movie called The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension. I have no idea what the movie's about. I have no idea if it correlates whatsoever. But Ellen Barkin played a character named Penny Pretty, P-R-I-D-D-Y. This character in our show's name is Penny Pretty, like P-R-E-T-T-Y. But Ellen Barkin has a very short blonde haircut in it. So I could see maybe they cast this actress and they were like, oh, she looks like Penny Pretty from that movie. And maybe that's where she got her name. But
oh my God, I love that. Look at you being a little detective.
I'm sleuth.
She was so funny in the scene where she was, well, actually in all of her scenes, but when she was talking about the differences between Jen and Dawson and Pacey and Joey and her observations of them, that was very funny. Mm-hmm. She was a kooky character.
Very, very kooky.
Now, what was your favorite music moment of this episode?
I feel bad for saying I don't think I have one. Do you?
I know, me neither.
Let's open it up.
What do you think of Jen and Pacey going at it in Dawson's bed? Kind of kinky.
It is. I like it. I like that they knew that they could just hop in the window. No one would be there. What do you think?
It was very funny. But in my head, I was like, I wonder if the reason they can't get into it is because they're in their friend's bed.
Could be.
That would either do the trick or I think it would kill it because, I mean, that'd be nerve-wracking for me. I'm generally just more of a nervous person than carefree, but...
Totally.
They have condoms. They're prepared. They're going to have safe sex.
They're doing everything right. They've had all the necessary conversations.
Which, like, no offense. I mean...
Not hot.
The benefit of having sex with a friend is, like, you don't have to use anything. Jen's on birth control. Jen's been on birth control for years. I mean, you're friends, you know? Enjoy it.
This episode is the whole time. I was like, this is so fresh in my brain. I just knew.
You knew everything.
I knew it.
This episode was a good one for me because I haven't seen it 10 million times. I just remember it from when I watched it the first time. And it was really enjoyable for me. Just all those little dynamics.
Yeah. I'm wondering if I watched it so much because it's the first time that there's really a actual concrete mention of Joey and Pacey as a thing. Like, it definitely stirred up some thoughts and feelings, even though it wasn't like they're getting together. So I wonder if that's why little me watched it so many times, because I definitely knew it very well.
Yeah. So Dawson is suspicious of Pacey and Joey because he knows Pacey's having some type of rendezvous with somebody. And Jen at the end puts it together that Pacey and Joey are falling for each other.
Even though they don't know it yet.
They don't know it yet, but they are.
They are.
We know it.
Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
Everyone.
It's interesting to me because we know now that last week's episode was written overnight last minute because the network and the cast hated the direction that this Pacey and Jen storyline was going in. They were supposed to have sex in the school bathroom in last week's episode. They scrapped it at the last minute. They did the Thanksgiving episode instead. So this episode was wrapping up PC and Jen, putting it to bed. And I think they did a good job. Watching last week's episode, I couldn't tell that it was written overnight or there was any type of scandal behind it. But this episode did feel much more like dialed into like a vision, much more put together. So in comparison, in retrospect, I think maybe last week's does seem a little off in tone. Do you agree?
This episode felt very season three, like what I consider to be season three as a whole. So I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
Like it definitely fit into the bigger picture, kind of. Yeah.
The second half of season three has a different tone from the first half of season three. And I think it starts here.
Completely agree.
I think is what we're trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe Greg Berlanti's running the show right now. We're not certain, but I think so, because as far as I know, Greg Berlanti was the one who was really behind Pacey Joey. I think he was the one that was pushing them as a serious couple. Whereas before, I think people pushed it as a plot device for Dawson Joey.
I can't wait until we interview him and he tells us exactly how this played out.
That's the goal. Season six, we'll get Kevin and Greg.
Perfect. I had not thought about the words Crash Bandicoot since about 1999, so that was a nice callback.
That's the game that Pacey claims to be playing when Dawson catches him in his room, but the TV's not on. Pacey just grabs her, you know, controller and is like, oh, just playing some Crash Bandicoot.
Only has one shoe on. He's a mess.
A mess. Would you get mad if your friend was in your house trying to hook up with someone while you weren't there in your own bed?
If they were in my bed, I would probably be mad. If they were in like the guest room, I'd be like, go for it.
Yeah. I feel like at that age, I would have been mad. And maybe at the age I'm at now, maybe, but in my 20s and 30s, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
I don't really want anyone in my bed but me getting lucky. I mean,
fair.
But, you know, I sleep in hotels, so whatever. I guess I just don't have ownership over those.
Yeah.
I don't like to think about that. It's disgusting.
It is really disgusting when you think about it. Maybe we should let's just talk about the Jack Andy storyline just to get it out of the way.
Okay.
Not out of the way in a bad way.
Yeah.
But just,
it's its own thing.
It's an easy story to kind of talk about.
I feel both bad for Jack and bad for Ben. Like, I feel bad for Jack because I do think that Andy is pushing him super hard and super fast to get out of his comfort zone and like go on this date. And I feel like if she had maybe, like, she messages Ben and says, want to meet for coffee tonight? And I was like, Andy, slow down. Like, say this weekend, let Jack kind of have a moment to build himself up for this. But he doesn't. She pushes him into it. And then Jack stands Ben up. And that is so sad. You see Ben sitting there through the window. He's so cute. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, I didn't find Andy annoying in this episode because she was coming from a good place. And she was just trying to give Jack a little push. Concerned sister.
Yeah. I didn't think she was annoying, but I did think that she
meddled.
I think I'm a Jack where, like, if somebody pushed me like that, I'd shut down rather than she thought that he would just respond to her and, like, it would help him. But instead, he was like, oh, God, I can't do it. You know?
Yeah.
I saw myself in him.
Yeah, it was a good episode for Jack. You know, he's dipping his toe. I like the way they take baby steps with him. And it's not, okay, I'm gay now. I'm going to start doing all this gay stuff. I'm going to have love interests. I really like that there. It feels real. I'm assuming that's also the Greg impact, because he and Kevin wrote the two-parter last season where Jack came out. And I think I've heard Greg talk in interviews about, you know, how important it was to get the first guy on guy kiss in prime time. And so I think he puts a lot of himself into this character in the journey. And I like that it's one step at a time.
Yeah.
He went on a date, but didn't go on the date. He went to the date, but didn't go on it. And it just feels really real versus like the hacky version would have been like, you know, he went, he didn't think he was ready. He had a great date, you know, and he realized like, this isn't the right guy, but I think I am ready.
Sure.
I really like that it wasn't that wrapped up in a bow kind of ending.
And there's a moment in this episode where he says to Andy, like, if I go on this date, it's not just me telling the world that I'm gay, I'll actually be gay. And she's like, well, you are gay. Like, he's still like grappling with so much inside of him.
Yeah.
It was good to hear.
He's admitted it to himself and he's admitting it to the world, but he's not really ready to live in the world that way.
Yeah, totally. Well, and he just got hundreds of hate mail letters, you know, like,
yeah,
I'm sure that was a little bit, made it a little bit harder. But I did also like when Jack's like, why are you so obsessed with this? And Andy's like, I have a stake in your sex life. If I'm an embittered old woman, single woman, I'm coming to live with you and your boyfriend.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was just a funny picture.
So funny. I love the McPhees. I mean, come on. They're the best.
So Ben mentions in the initial letter to Jack that he had gone to prom with a guy and that's how he was in the spotlight. And so Jack's first instinct is like, oh, he probably has a boyfriend. And Andy is like, a lot can happen between May and November. Let me tell you, like, they're probably broken up. I liked that moment.
That was so funny. I like when he says, what would I even say? And she says, say anything. It works for John Cusack.
Yeah.
Gotta go. Bye.
I was watching this with my partner and he laughed a lot at that moment.
Ooh, what did he think of the episode?
Oh, I have lots to say about it when we get to the dance hall scene.
Okay.
He thought it was a good episode, though.
Love it. So Jack has this scene where he says to Andy, you know, I saw Ben sitting there and then I saw a straight couple and I just wanted to be them, which I thought was really... That, I think that's a real moment too. When like you're in this stage of coming out and you're just like, oh, why couldn't I have just been straight? It would be so much easier. Like I thought that was a really relatable, vulnerable moment too. A very real moment. And I like how this episode with Jack, it was a very minor B story, but it's real and it had like emotional heft. And It didn't feel like when you threw to Jack and Andy, it was like a waste of an episode, you know, like it did on Witch Island when Andy was giving out the disciplinary things and you're like, oh, the story's
totally
such a fail. It didn't feel like filler. So I'm trying to say it was a good little B story.
Yeah, it had a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great point. The whole episode felt fleshed out, well-rounded. Everybody had their purpose.
Yeah.
I also, this is just one little last light moment for Jack and Andy, but I love when they ask him for a picture and it's like slowly coming up on the screen. It just really brought me back to dial-up internet.
Yeah, when they're talking about getting a picture from Ben and Jack says, looks don't matter.
Yeah.
And then a teacher comes up behind them and is like, I've been internet dating too. You know, get a picture. They're all trolls.
Wait, she says, I dated a guy from the internet once. Hideous.
And that's what inspires Jack to get a picture. And Andy's like, no hat, no sunglasses, no baggy shirts. Get two, formal and informal. Very funny.
Classic Andy.
God, remember the days when the pictures would load like line by line?
It's so crazy.
So crazy. I love an instant messenger moment. If you were a teenager in the 90s and you were on instant messenger and you have not seen the instant messenger episode of Pen 15 on Amazon.
So funny.
It is a must see. I think it's one of the best episodes of TV of all time.
It's a great show in general if you haven't seen it and you grew up in that time.
So good. Let's talk about Pacey.
Pacey's failing math. His grades are slipping.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what a cosine is.
Yeah, he's regressed to season one Pacey. He's failing everything. He's failing trig, but he also has bad grades in everything.
Yes. He comes up to Joey after math and she kind of knows that he's looking for her notes and he confesses to her that he's failing and says he will do anything if she helps him not fail. And the little light bulb goes off and she's like, anything? And we cut to the dance studio. We find out that the dance studio does a yearly scholarship. It's like $1,500 to the best high school student who takes a certain amount of classes or something like that.
Yeah.
And Pacey's like, do you think you're going to get it? And she goes, there are only about 6 people here who wear their teeth to bed, let alone go to high school with us.
Yeah, she's a shoo-in for this $1,500. She just needs someone to do it with her.
The phrase wear their teeth to bed just really made me laugh.
So funny.
And there's an awkward moment where Pacey and Joey are walking in school and they're talking about how ridiculous their first class was. And Dawson comes up behind him and he's like, what are you guys talking about? And that's the first like seeds of something's happening between Joey and Pacey for Dawson.
So yes, at this point, Dawson has found the condom. So he knows Pacey has a secret or he's up to no good. And then he sees
Pacey
and Joey and overhears them saying, no one can ever find out about this. And Dawson's like, find out about what? And then they cover, they're lying. He knows them both so well. He knows they're lying. But what are they lying about?
That is the question.
He thinks they're having sex in his bed.
That would really be wild. Can you imagine if that were the case?
Lord, today.
Joey and Pacey were like, let's go to Dawson's house. Man.
One funny line that we forgot to mention in the cold open was when Pacey and Jen are talking about the logistics of being in Dawson's room. And they said, you know, great idea. No one's home. We use the ladder. And then Jen says, Graham's always said that ladder was a gateway to sin. So funny. So funny.
So then later, Jen comes to the video store looking for Pacey because Pacey told Jen that he was working that night and he couldn't hang out. When she gets there, Dawson is working and he's like, no, Pacey's not going to be here for, you know, until next week or whatever he says. And that's another moment where they're like starting to put together something. Somebody's lying about something and we can't exactly figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Then Dawson says to Jen, one of my favorite quotes from the episode. Dawson says, there aren't any particularly doable new faculty members, are there? And Jen's like, what? He's like, I don't know. I found a condom and Pacey's definitely trying to have sex with somebody. And what a shady bastard.
I know. I kind of love it though.
I know.
There was something about this episode. While I agree with you that it is very season three, it's like just this is the type of tone and everything you think about when you think of season three. There is something about it too that reminded me a lot of season one. I think it was the video store. Mm-hmm. And I think it was also that conversation at the end between Dawson and Joey when they're just kind of going back and forth, you know, and she's saying, you are supposed to be romantic. And he's mansplaining like the world to her. There's something about that conversation that felt very season one. So that, I think that's another reason I really like this episode. It was just the four interacting and it felt very season one-y.
And there's a lot of Capeside at night, twinkle light, like it had that vibe.
Yeah.
The feeling.
And it's a sore subject, but you know, Tamara came up a few times with Dawson and out of Dawson's mouth and out of Pacey's. And yeah, the latter, you know, it was just lots of little nods to season one, which also I think is a testament to Greg and the new vision and the writers and how good they are. But something about it. Yeah, it just kind of, you know, went back to season one a little bit sometimes. And I like that. They reference Jen and Dawson's relationship a lot.
Yeah.
They're back in that lab where like Pacey and Joey originally got paired in season one to do their science project. Pacey put the snails in the menage a trois and they ate each other and all that.
Great point.
This episode was solid, I have to say. So Pacey is caught in another lie when Jen goes to the store. And now Jen is very intrigued. She's like, what is happening? Where's Pacey? And they see Joey and Pacey walking and Jen and Dawson. It's actually Jen's idea. She's like, we need to follow them. Put the be back in five sign up.
And do you think that that's just because she's curious or because Pacey lied to her specifically? Like, what's her motivation to be like, let's go?
I think she's just curious.
I was wondering that when I was watching.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. I think the fact that he lied to her made her feel like there's something worth lying about, I guess, because they quote unquote don't have feelings in it. So
yeah,
maybe that's why.
Now Jen and Dawson are at the dance studio. The Pretty Penny. What's her name? Penny. Yeah. Pretty.
Penny Pretty.
She pretty much ushers them in and is like, great, two more young people. Like, I need you guys. Let's go. And they get thrown together.
And she's like, attention, everyone. We have two more young people. She makes such a big deal about them.
And Joey and Pacey are like, funny seeing you guys here. Again, Joey and Pacey are very embarrassed of this. And Jen and Dawson are confused. Everyone's confused.
Before that, Joey and Pacey are in the classroom, like you just said, and they're having a conversation. Well, first, it comes up that Pacey can't study because Andy and Tamara basically trained him to only study for sex as a reward. And Joey's like, no, you're barking up the wrong tree. And he's like, I'm not barking up any tree. I have someone. And she's like, yeah, right. So he lays out this situation that he's in with Jen without saying that it's with Jen. And Joey's like, so is this a potential relationship or is this a free trade agreement? And he was like, no, you know, there's no feelings involved. And Joey's like, sounds completely empty and unfulfilling. And Joey is so anti-sex in this episode. It's insane. But that's the setup.
She's very rigid with sex.
Very.
But I think that's believable. I think that's believable because I used to be like that. When all my friends were like hooking up with people and I wasn't, and like, you know, you get really judgy about it. But I think it's more about you because you're just like, well, why is it not me? Why am I not doing it? Why does no one want to do it with me? I thought that was real. But 1000% agree. She's being very judgy, uptight, rigid. But don't you think that's real? Like when you're that age and all your friends?
I genuinely don't remember, but she was really rubbing me the wrong way in this episode. And I think she felt very Dawson to me. And Dawson was like, meh, who cares? And I was like, wow, like what a role reversal.
Well, I think they are the two more romantic characters, whereas Jen and Pacey are a little more practical.
For sure.
She certainly was very judgy throughout, and at one point almost kind of slut shamed Jen again. Maybe another reason why this reminded me of season one, because the Jen and Joey were at odds a little bit. But 1000%. She was so uptight about it, but it just felt very real to me. And also, she's kind of falling for Pacey at this point. So she's probably like, what is he talking about?
Yeah. So that I have that question for you, but I'll bring it up in a minute because they have this initial conversation. So Joey knows that there's something going on with Pacey and a woman. She doesn't know who it is. And then we cut to the dance studio. So now we have Jen and Dawson and Pacey and Joey dancing.
Four to tango.
Four to tango, baby. And they are doing this exercise where they switch partners every time Penny Pretty says switch. So it starts out Dawson and Pacey and Jen and Joey, right?
It starts off with the original pairs. And then they switch with Dawson and Pacey. It's girls and boys. Two girls, two boys.
And Dawson is like, what are you hiding from me? I found the condom. Like, what's happening? Then they say switch. So Pacey runs to Jen and is like, Dawson's on to us. And she's like, no, he's not. It's fine. And he's just like, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, no, he's on to you, but he's not on to me. So we're fine. And then Pacey's like, oh, God. And then they switch to Pacey, Joey,
Jen, Dawson. Pacey basically tells Joey what's going on. Dawson thinks we're hooking up. And she's like, what? That's crazy. And he says, like, no, you know, there's circumstances that I think might have led him to believe that. And she is very confused.
And then they switch again and it's back to Dawson having a conversation with Pacey. And Pacey is like, look, you're not dating Joey. You have said that you need space from Joey. And then he says, look at her. She's a freaking goddess, man, which is so crazy. And he's like, somebody's going to swoop in and take her, and it's not going to be your best friend, and he's not going to ask for permission. So you need to get your shit straight. And Dawson is like, yeah, but what about the condom? He just keeps coming back to the condom. And that's when Pacey's like, I'm out of here, and heads to the coat room.
Yeah. Pacey basically says, if it's not me, it's going to be somebody. And it's not me right now. But what if the next person who does it isn't your best friend and isn't going to take your feelings into consideration and isn't going to have this talk with you? You know, figure it out, which is a conversation he had with them in season 1 when he said, is it going to be Betty or Veronica, the blonde or the brunette? You know, but it's interesting because Dawson and Joey wanted to get back to being friends again, as we've learned from Witch Island. And it feels like they're back. It feels like they're kind of in that zone and they're even having the same conversations they had season 1. So that's the dynamic. They're friends. They're confused about their feelings.
Earlier in the episode, during this switching of the partners dance, Dawson is like, why Pacey? And she's like, he came to me. He needed something from me and said he would repay me a favor. So that's it. Like, it's very simple. And he's like, but why didn't you ask me? Like, we're over that hump of things are awkward. Things are weird. Yeah. They're back on their bullshit.
As a side note, you know, I love a background moment. I just love the man that Joey is dancing with when Dawson and Pacey are having their fight. He's like this old guy with the mustache. Yeah. And he's like so into the dance. And Joey / Katie is just like staring off, just like
into space,
catatonic in like this fugue state. He's whipping her around. It's very funny.
Yeah, that was so funny.
And then we're in the coat room. And can I just say, as a random aside, I just really like Michelle Williams' hair in this episode. It's straight. It's long.
It's very good.
It's doing that curl in the back. It's very
flip.
Yes, it's very like Mrs. Brady from the Brady Bunch. Is it 60s, 70s? It's doing that sitcom mom flip in the back. And I like it. I'm just really loving Michelle Williams' look at this stage. I feel like this is a good season for her hair.
Completely agree. And when they're sitting on the floor in the coat room, which is coming up in just a minute, she's like crumpled in a way that like her body's so thin that she can just bend it into, so she's like holding her knees up against her chest, and I was like, man, look at her, she's like a little pixie girl. Like, I don't know,
she's so cute.
I wanted to be a little tiny pixie girl.
It's funny, now that we know what we know, what was happening behind the scenes, Pacey has a line in the coat room where he said, you know what, I'm getting sick of this whole thing. The storyline is beyond the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Beyond the point of believability is what he says.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. You know, Dawson's has always been very self-referential and tongue-in-cheek. And this is one of those moments where they're acknowledging how weird the storyline is. Again, I don't really think it's weird, but we know the cast did.
And then they're talking about, Jen's talking about how America, like, is okay with violence, but not okay with sex. And they freak out if anyone uses the proper names for genitalia. Like, it felt like she was also commenting on the criticisms of the show and the sexuality of the show. Classic self-referential Dawson's.
Yeah. And a little bit of trivia. We didn't mention it, but when Jack goes to meet Ben Street, he goes to meet him at Molly's Market, which is where in the Thanksgiving episode, Pacey and Jen were doing the Thanksgiving shopping and were canoodling, but they kept laughing.
Ew, I did not know that. Yeah,
Dawson's Wiki. You guys, Dawson's Wiki, they're doing the Lord's work on Dawson's Wiki. Do you think Joshua Jackson and Michelle Williams have chemistry?
Not really.
I go back and forth, but when they're kissing on the ground, I'm like, I'm kind of into it now.
Yeah.
We talked about it a little bit last week and in Witch Island. I just feel like on paper, Pacey and Jen make sense. For all the reasons we've said, they're experienced. I feel like they are probably at the point where they've had loves and maybe they want something a little less serious. And it just, it makes sense to me that these two characters would get together.
Even Dawson says it in this episode.
Yeah.
He's like, it was only a matter of time. Like, it makes sense. And they're both lonely. And, you know, I understand the impulse. I think they have great friendship chemistry. Like, I love them on screen together.
Yeah.
And I'm not repulsed when they're like, I'm not like, ooh, this feels wrong. But I'm not like, oh, my God, please have babies together.
Right. Do you think Dawson and Jen have good romantic chemistry?
No, none.
I did in season one, but in later seasons, I think that as they become adults, they have more chemistry.
Sure. Knowing what we know now up to this episode in season three, I would say no.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But Jen also had the hair flip in season one. This is like a more stylish hair flip look for her. But she's back to her like season one silhouette, shall we say? Yeah. To use a Project Runway term.
She's also being herself now, where like,
yeah.
I don't know, season one Jen, she just always felt a little bit uncomfortable in her body.
Yeah, they found her character now. Something about Michelle Williams seems different, like her acting or like, I mean, it just feels different. So I was doing some research on it. And I think in between seasons two and three, she filmed If These Walls Could Talk, which was the HBO miniseries about like abortion. And she also filmed another movie around this time. I don't know if it was Dick or something, but I just feel like maybe the movies kind of helped her.
Confidence or, yeah.
Because Jen, in scenes, you kind of sit with her more.
It makes sense. I feel like we forget, or I forget, that she truly was like 15 when the show started. So every year that she lives life, she just becomes a little more comfortable in her own skin.
Yeah.
I would think. So Dawson and Joey walk in on Jen and Pacey making out, and it is such a good moment. Dawson is like, this is not what I was expecting. His face is so funny. And Joey has never looked more disappointed in anything. And she's like, what are you doing? You're going to get hurt. And or what's happening here? And Jen says, it's nothing. And Joey's like, what do you mean it's nothing? And Pacey says, believe me, we've done exhaustive research in the area. It's nothing. And then Joey goes off on a tangent about how this isn't Pacey. You know, maybe it's Jen, but Pacey, this isn't you. You named your boat True Love. Like, what are you doing? Oh, God.
She is jealous.
Right? She has to be jealous. Like, her reaction is so disproportionate to what's happening.
Well, she's putting it all together because she knows Jen is the woman from the hypothetical scenario. She knows that Jen is that prospect that Pacey told her that he had. And I mean, a part of her has to be like, Jen, again, taking every guy from me. In a few moments, Jen's going to have that reaction when she finds out that Pacey confided in Joey. She's like, oh, again, I'm dating another guy who freaking runs to Joey every time. And I see both sides. I agree with each of them. That would drive me nuts.
Yeah, totally. Well, we were watching this. Like I said, I was watching this with my partner and he was like, that is me. Joey is me. That is exactly how I felt in high school. And I was like, what? Like, he was so staunchly anti-sex. Sex, anti, like, hooking up for no reason. He was just so against it. And judgy. Like, Joey comes off very judgy, even though we kind of know it's jealousy, not judgment. But
I think a little bit of it is judgment, though, you know, because she's, again, she's not
definitely
having it. And when your friends start hooking up at that age, I think you do start to feel jealous. And but it's out of insecurity almost, not anything else. I used to think that was all trash, you know, like hooking up at that age. And my best friend had another friend group of like three or four guys, and there were a few girls in it from other schools. It was kind of a weird thing. but I remember they all used to share, you know, a girl would go out with one of them for a few months and then break up, and they would all stay friends and then go out with another one. And I don't think anything serious was happening physically, you know, because it was like 16, 17, maybe, I mean, some stuff was probably happening, but I just remember thinking that's so weird. Like, that's so trash that they're just like partner swapping. But looking back at it, I'm like, of course, because who else is there? If you're going to date people in your group at that age. I mean, I can't imagine dating a friend now. It's weird.
It is weird. No, I guess I did it.
You did do it.
Ugh.
College friend, though.
Yeah.
Well, Jen is pissed that Pacey confided in Joey. And she says, you know, it doesn't take Einstein to figure out what's going on here. You know, but between Joey's overreaction and Dawson's overreaction, it's clear that like you and Joey have a thing. And he says, Joey and I have nothing going on. And she says, no, you and I have nothing going on. And he's like, yeah, you're right. This isn't working out. And they're both relieved, but sad.
Yeah. She says, are you sad? And he goes, I am sad. And he goes, but honestly, a little relieved too. And she's like, yeah, me too.
I think Pacey's learning that he's not that type of person.
Could be.
And I think Jen just wasn't into it. Wasn't into him.
Yeah. Regarding Joey, she says, what is it about her? She has something that makes boys in emotional turmoil flock to her.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
And then Joey and Dawson meet up or are walking home together by the docks and or by the harbor. What is that area?
Do you notice where they are?
Are they where the hot dog cart ice cream cart is?
No, they're at the fountain.
Oh, right. Yes. They walk past the fountain down the stairs. Yes, yes,
yes. So we saw the fountain a few times last season, I believe in the dance episode. And then this is where Joey's art museum was that she took Dawson to. And she's like, you just don't get it. I'm into art now. They had their little fight. But this time the fountain's at night and it's lit up purple.
They love lights in Cape Side.
But anyway, Joey's like, I can't believe our friends are having sex.
She says, do you think it's okay for people who aren't in love to just have sex? And Dawson's like, give him a break. And I was like, damn, Dawson's a voice of reason.
And Joey says, if a kiss is just a kiss, then what's the point of anything?
She's spiraling.
I was like, honey, wait until you get to college.
If it's purely physical and there's no feelings, what's the point?
And Dawson says, they might be lonely. They might just need comfort. And even in the most loving relationships, someone's using somebody for something. They're using them to make them feel a certain way. And in this instance, Pacey and Jen are just using each other to feel a physical thing.
Yeah. And he was like, I understand the impulse. Like, he's very level-headed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Joey is not. She is losing it.
But he convinces her to go back in and forgive Pacey.
But he doesn't say that, right? Like, that's just what she takes from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He gets Joey to kind of realize she's overreacting and being judgy without saying those words.
Yeah. So she gets her coat. She goes back into the room. Pacey's still sitting there. And they have a little chat. And he says, just for the record, nothing really happened between us. And she's like, it's none of my business what did or didn't happen. And he's like, okay, but just wanted to let you know.
I think what gets Joey back in is he says, you know, it doesn't matter if Pacey and Jen's feelings for each other are wrong. Feelings are feelings, whether they're wrong or right. You have feelings. You can't control them. Like, no one knows what that's like better than we do. He doesn't say that in so many words, but he's like, you know what that's like. Meaning, you know, they let their feelings like interfere with their friendship and they couldn't control their feelings and Pacey and Jen can't control their feelings. So Joey's like, okay, yeah, Dawson has a point. Feelings are feelings. Impulses are impulses.
Yeah.
And then Joey and Pacey have a freaking cute, cute, cute moment here.
Yeah. She admits she overreacted. And he's like, you did overreact, didn't you? She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
We did. And then they leave together. And as they're leaving, Petty Pretty is like, do you guys want to stay? There's another class. And Joey brings up the scholarship. And Penny says, ooh, things are a little bit tight. No scholarship this year. And they're like, what? She's like, you can stay, though. We can give you free classes. She's like, nah, we're out.
I know. Joshua Jackson is just so cute in this episode. I love him.
He's in his cute era.
I love him.
When the night is over. Beautiful.
Look out, Broadway.
Here we come.
They're just so cute.
They are cute.
And she grabs his hand to lead him out. She actually grabs his hand twice. Once when he's sitting, once when they're standing and they're going to run out the door. Physical touch.
It's her love language.
I don't know what the hell her love language is.
Negging. But yeah, it's cute. They're cute. I just relate so much to there being a clear flirtation, but never saying it out loud. And then if anyone said it out loud, being like, it just like took the air out of the room or like the blood out of my body in a way where I was like, oh God, no, nothing's happening here. Oh, like just so awkward and like not wanting to actually face my feelings kind of thing. And I feel like that's kind of where Joey's at too. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's funny at the end when the dance teacher is saying, I'll give you that membership. You can come back and do all these classes, the rumba, the this, the that. And she says, and when you're ready, the tango, the dance of love.
Isn't rumba a vacuum?
The rumba is a dance. The Roomba is a...
My bad.
Yeah. So the teacher can see it. Based on their body language, she knows they're in that awkward, we have a crush phase. They're not comfortable with each other. They make each other nervous.
Penny Pretty knows what's up.
She sees it. If Penny Pretty says it, then it's pretty much fact. I don't know what to tell you. Her and her Mia Farrow haircut. I love that. Do you remember every season of America's Next Top Model when Tyra Banks was giving the makeovers and like cutting all the girls' hair and dyeing it? Every year she was like,
yes.
Two words, Mia Farrow. Or like two words, Rosemary's Baby. Yeah. And the girls would just, they'd smile to Tyra and be like, sounds great, I can't wait. And then in the chair when they were getting their hair cut off, they would just cry. I'm pretty sure the one girl got the Mia Farrow and they bleached it. And then like an episode or two later, she quit. She's just like, this isn't me. Yeah. It's like, girl, they already chopped your hair off and dyed it.
Yeah, they were always going for it. They were really going for it with those makeovers. I used to love that show.
It was the best. Except I'm still not over when Carrie D beat Melrose. But anyway.
That is a story for another time. Maybe we'll talk about it on the Cape Citians or JoJo Siwa podcast.
I think about the Carrie D. Melrose thing a lot. I'll talk about it in therapy. Carrie D. and her psoriasis. God damn it.
Oh,
I have psoriasis. We know Carrie D. Jesus Christ, just pose.
Well, what you watching?
I am watching a show on Netflix called The Boyfriend, and it is a Japanese reality. It's not really a dating show. It's a Japanese reality show. It's kind of like The Real World, but it's just gay men.
Oh.
So they're living together. They're working together. They have a coffee truck. But instead of dates, like only two of them get to work on the coffee truck a day. So like one day it's this guy's turn. The next day it's this. And they could each pick someone to bring to work on the coffee truck with them.
Got it.
And it's kind of just like old school reality. It's they live together and they're trying to get to know each other and build connections. But it's very like chaste and demure. And, you know, it's very cute. But I love it. It takes a little bit to get going because in the grand scheme of what reality has become, some could say it's boring, but it's just a little slow. But episode two or three, when people start to have connections and you get really emotionally into it, it really pays off because they're all so sweet. You just want them to like be happy.
Is it in Japanese?
Yes. It's subtitled.
Subtitles. Okay.
But it's just very pure. Like there's no villains. It's not sensationalized. It's just very real and grounded and very sweet. What are you watching?
I finished Hacks, which we talked about. I also watched Claim to Fame, which you had started, but I had not started last time. I love it.
I know. You're all caught up, right? You binged it all.
All caught up. How many episodes are left?
I did not watch this week's yet.
Okay. I think there's
Two or three left. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if anybody else wants to binge it and catch up, they can. But season one, I really liked. Like I dove in, watched season one. I was like, oh, I really liked that. And then season two, I texted you. I was like, oh, they've made improvements season two. And like, I feel like every season they figure out little things that make the show a little bit better. I love it. I think it's great. The Jonas Brothers are so cute. Well, it's Kevin and Franklin. Season one, Frankie. Season two and three, Franklin. They're so cute. I love them. I love everyone. Highly recommend. Good find. Thank you for that.
The celebrity connections for season three are crazy. They're like, I mean, legit. They've always had really good stars, but there's always a one or two where I'm like, who are they? This year is crazy.
Well, that's the thing, too, that you brought up to me. They have to be big enough stars that people would know them off the top of their heads because they don't have access to the internet. They don't have access. Like, the only resources they have really are each other. I guess there's some books laying around that they can, like, read through. But for the most part, it has to be, like, a super big name that would come to mind.
Yeah. Something this show does is when it gets down to the final three, they bring back all the former contestants for, like, a day for them to just hang out at a house and party and talk and strategize. And it gives the evicted house guests or the eliminated house guests a chance to fill the final three in on clues. And now that they're not in the game anymore, they could tell them, oh, I thought Sherry was related to Dolly Parton or whatever. At first, like, what do you think about that twist? Like, do you feel, because when I first saw that, I was just like, I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah, well, it definitely is. It's more like, oh, I always liked Jim and Jim made it to the top three. So I'm going to go like help Jim out or whatever.
Well, we won't spoil, but in season one, there was a girl who has a famous celebrity. She's an actress, and someone in the final three never even heard of their celebrity connection. And then the jury came back, or not the jury, the eliminated house guest came back and they told him.
Yeah.
That's the only thing about the show where I'm like, I don't know if that's fair, because I feel like the final three should just have to hack it on their own. But
it's tough. Like, there are so many not niche, but like country music, for example. Sometimes there's country music stars and it's like, if you don't listen to country, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times the big actors, the big musicians are ubiquitous. Is that the right word?
I didn't know the scientist guy.
You didn't?
Yeah. I didn't know who that is.
That's funny.
No. And like the one clue was like her connections on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I knew his character name on Curb Your Enthusiasm, but I didn't know his real life name.
There are so many times where people in the house are like, who, what is that person's name? Like, I know. One of the big changes that they made that I really liked was season one. At the beginning of every season, every contestant does two truths and a lie about their celebrity relative. So it's like, he's my grandfather, he's a singer, and his biggest award is an Oscar or whatever.
I think you have to say how you're related to them, what their industry is, and an award they've won.
Yes. And you get to lie about one of those things.
Right.
So season one, they flashed on the screen which thing was true and which thing was a lie. So the audience was in on what was a lie. And then also in the beginning of season one, they told some people off the bat, like Whoopi Goldberg's granddaughter, spoiler, is on the show, but she tells you the first time you meet her, she's like, Whoopi Goldberg, yeah, is my grandma. Like, yeah, you just know that from the start. And then seasons two and three, you don't know anything about anyone. They don't tell you what's a lie. They don't tell you, like, sometimes the contestants will be like, oh, I told everyone my uncle is a sports star, but he's not.
Yeah, I've noticed in season two and three, they do tell you one or two people by the end of the first episode.
But it's usually like the people who are close to going home, I feel, yes, like.
The ones that are very obvious. The, yeah, Tom Hanks's daughter was so obvious. I actually felt bad for her. So you guys might have heard this. People might know this story because it was like a viral story that week, because she was the first one eliminated on season two and she had a huge meltdown that went like viral. This is the first time I ever heard of the show. It was like 2 years ago. It's because the clues about her, like there was a green bench, Forrest Gump, and it was just so, it was obvious. So that's why I finally watched it. I was like, of course she freaked out. They kind of screwed her.
But she also wasn't good. Like, she was like, oh no, it's probably some other movie with a green, I don't know. Like, she wasn't good at hiding it.
The funniest thing is when they look just like Simone Biles' sister was on. I think her name is Lauren. They look identical. Something. And also Laverne Cox's twin brother.
Identical twin brother.
Identical twin brother was on it. It's just so funny.
But yeah, good recommendation. Love it. Like we said, it's still airing now. So if you want a good quick, it's quick too. Quick binge.
Yeah.
There's not like crazy drama, but there's enough drama that it's interesting. It's great.
Give it a watch.
All right. That's it.
Well, what are we going to drink next time for episode 310?
We are going to be drinking the Ward 8. You will need rye whiskey, lemon juice, orange juice, and grenadine, which you already have from this week.
You're going to be drinking Shirley Temple's.
This sounds really good. I'm very excited about it. It feels akin to like Blood and Sand. I'm into it. I'm looking forward to it.
You know so many drinks. I don't even know what you're saying half the time.
I gotta be good at something.
So next week's episode is the last episode of the calendar year, 1999.
Yeah.
So we'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.